This is very pertinent today because I'm talking about courage today. And I wasn't nervous, and then I saw Pastor Karen. I was like, oh man, this is testing my courage because she's my mentor, my spiritual mother, besides my natural mother. So I'm excited that you're here. So a story of courage in my life. I was a senior at Elam, so I was 20 years old. No, I guess it would have been 19 at the time. And I had a crush on a boy. And I was in church on Sunday morning, and they were talking about Peter stepping out and walking on the water. And so God really spoke to me. I was afraid. I was afraid of it not working out. I was afraid of the pain because I had, I know relationships can be painful. So I was very scared. And I was like, well, you know, what if he says no? He doesn't want to have a relationship with me, you know. But God said, step on the water, and if you start to fall, I'll pull you back up. So I'm like, all right, I'm trusting you, Lord. So I have sweaty hands, you know, my heart's beating out of my chest, and I go up and say, Van, can I talk to you? Yes, it was him. He knows that story. It's just plain silly. It was a good story. But anyway, so that was one of my steps of courage, or a story of courage in my life. I'm going to share more with you, but God just really wants to fill us with courage this morning. So I hope that we're all ready to receive it. But not only does he give us courage, he also commands courage. I'm going to speak mostly out of one scripture today. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Okay, God is commanding us. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Better. Discouraged, right? What does dis mean at the beginning of a word?
What does dis mean at the beginning of a word?
Come on, you guys speak English, right? Not, right. The lack of. Right? So if we're discouraged, it means that we're lacking courage. That we don't have courage. So if we're feeling discouraged, maybe we need to just ask God to give us courage for whatever it is that we're discouraged about. So why does God command us to have courage to step out? Because his kingdom isn't going to advance unless we step out. Right? There are things we must do to be successful and enter the promised land. If I'm on my computer and I'm like, I would love a new house, and I'm searching on Zillow, I find the perfect house, I would love to live there in my mind, and I do this is bad. I know what I'm going to paint each room and what I'm going to change when it's my house, you know, but I never go look at the house, I never call the mortgage company, I never step out in courage because I'm afraid. Maybe it won't happen, or maybe I won't get the house. I'm never going to step into what looked so good over there unless I gather up the courage and take that step. It's funny that God gave me this because my dad just spoke about a couple weeks ago, I think, about the Israelites wanting to enter the promised land. Do you guys remember that? And he was saying God gave them a choice. There was the desert that they could stay in. They could try to go back to Egypt because they seemed like they were happy. And then there's the promised land over there, and they're scared. But there are consequences when we don't step out in courage, right? What happened to the Israelites when they didn't step out in courage? They didn't just get to hang out in the wilderness then. Oh, well, you know, they chose the wilderness over the promised land because they're scared. They died. It's always our choice. This is kind of what I've been going through with my son, you know. He always has a choice. If I say, get dressed for bed, it sounds like it's not a choice because it's a command, but he has a choice. He could either get dressed for bed, like I asked, or he could not get dressed for bed and face the consequences. And it's like that with us. He's commanding us to have courage and step out. And we do have a choice, but there's a consequence if we don't choose to obey him. And when the children of Israel were given this choice, this is what God said to them. This is Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. It says, "This day I call the heavens and earth as my witnesses that I have set before you the choice between life and death, blessing and curses. Please choose life that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." It's kind of like, blessing or curses? Not that hard of a choice, right? So why is it so difficult for us sometimes? It's that fear that holds us back. And also, when God commanded this, there was a time frame. Like when I asked my son, "Get your pajamas on," I'm going to give him a couple minutes, you know, go to his room, pick out an outfit. But there comes a time when I'm done waiting and he already, you know, at this point has disobeyed me, right? Well, it's like that with God. Whenever I shared that story about Peter stepping out on the water, what if, because he saw Jesus on the water, everyone was scared because they thought it was a ghost. And what if Peter had waited till Jesus got to the boat to be sure it was Jesus? He would have missed his window to be able to step out and experience walking on the water. His time frame would have been up. So he commands us to do it now. The Lord was so upset with the Israelites' decision not to obey and enter the land. He said they would slave away for 40 years in the wilderness. So the spies that went in were in there for 40 days, looking at the promised land, checking it out, seeing how great it was. So God said, "I gave them 40 days to get filled with courage. So for each of those days, they're going to spend a year in the wilderness." There are 40 years of slaving away in the wilderness, and he took their children in instead. But I don't know if a lot of us know this. I did not remember this part of the story, but I was reading it when I was setting up on this. So this is in Numbers 14. They had spied out the land. Starting at verse 36, "The men Moses sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it, these men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord." So remember, there were 12 that went in, only 2 gave a good report. The 10 that didn't, God struck them down with a plague because they were grumbling and complaining against Moses. And God said, because they're grumbling against the leader I gave them, that means they're grumbling against me. And he took offense to that. And actually, Moses had to plead with him, "Please don't kill them all out here." So he just decided to only kill those who were grumbling and complaining and spreading a bad report. Only Caleb and Joshua survived. Verse 39. When Moses reported this to all the Israelites, that the men had been struck down, they mourned bitterly. Early the next morning, they set out for the highest point in the hill country, and they said, "Now we're ready to go up to the land the Lord promised. Surely we were sinning." But Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This won't succeed. Don't go up. The Lord isn't with you. You'll be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you turned away from the Lord, he won't be with you. You'll fall by the sword." Verse 44, "Nevertheless, in their pride, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country. But Moses didn't go with them, neither did the Ark of the Lord's Covenant," which at that time represented the Lord's presence because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. So in their pride, they're saying, "Well, we weren't going to do it when he asked us to do it. But now that we see the consequences and we saw what happened to those guys, We're gonna go now." And Moses says, "Well, you know, our time's up for that. So now we have to do what God said, which is stay in the wilderness." And they didn't want to do that, but Moses, their leader, didn't go with them. Neither did the Lord's presence. So the Amalekites and Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. So a lot of them died in that attack. And I I had never read that part of the story. I remember reading that part of the story. It's like, wow, Lord, you really, when you command us to do something, expect us to do it right away and not sit around, wait to see, what's going to happen if I don't, you know? So just that our hearts, we are commanded to have courage, then we need to make it right away. A story about this in my life where I almost missed my window of opportunity. I was on vacation and we were at Food Lion, which is, do we have those up here? Well, anyway, it was in North Carolina. So it's a grocery store and I go to the bathroom and there's a woman in there and her face is like swollen and I can see she's something wrong with her eyes. And I said, oh man, like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. I guess she was riding her motorcycle and a bug got in her contact. And I'm like, oh, you know, I wear contacts. I'm like, that's painful, you know? And I felt like I was supposed to pray for her, but I left the bathroom. And so I'm walking around the store and God's like, what if she gets on her motorcycle and she can't see and she dies because you didn't pray for her? I told you to pray for her. And I was like, oh, no, you know, Lord, please help me to catch up. You know, I don't want to miss this window of opportunity that he had commanded me to have the courage. And I was scared, you know, because you're like a stranger. If I pray for them, like, what if she says, no, I don't want you to pray for me? So I'm like scouring the store trying to find her. And I see her about to leave the store. And I ran after her and I said, can I pray for you? So I just prayed for her real quick for her eyes and that she'd have a safe trip wherever she was going on her motorcycle. And I was like, you know, so thankful to the Lord because I would have regretted that if I had known, wow, God asked me to do something. I didn't have the courage to do it and someone else got hurt or paid the consequences for it. So it's really important that when he asks us to do something, we do it in a timely manner. But the cool thing is, that it's not in our own ability, and his power is what's going to accomplish it. Was it my job to heal her eyes? No, it was just my job to do what he asked, which was to pray. So I don't have to be afraid that God's not going to heal her, because that's not my job, and that wouldn't be my responsibility. The awesome thing is that to get the courage we need, all we need to do is lean into him and receive his enablement. He waits for us to make our choice. Then once we've chosen that we're going to step out, he releases that courage that we need. And he gives us the Holy Spirit power to move forward. But if we've chosen not to obey him, then his hands are tied. He can't release power to us because we're not doing what he asked us to do. Just like he couldn't bless them going after the Israelites were going out after. He couldn't bless them. His presence wasn't with them because they had already made their choice. Okay. The next thing why he commands us to have courage is that he knows if we step out and we see his deliverance and what he can do, we'll have more courage for the next battle ahead. A good example is me being up here right now. It was terrifying when I was at Valley Forge. I had to take a public speaking class and I had to speak for 5 minutes. Yeah, you know. And you are like, your palms are sweating, your knees are shaking, and your like heart is racing, and you're like, And so I was, at that time in my life, I could sing in front of anyone by myself with a solo or whatever. I had no fear because I had done it since I was like 12. But asked me to speak in front of people, and I was done for. So over time, at the position I had at the previous church, I remember the first time the pastor asked me to speak. I was the mission secretary. I didn't have any need to speak, but it was Mission Sunday and we couldn't find a missionary. So he said, well, I guess that means you're speaking. It's like, oh, Lord, I was so nervous. But every time I do it, it gets easier and easier. And it's like that with courage. If we take the courage and we step out the first time, God knows that it's going to get easier and easier each time. Back to the story of the Israelites, they had some smaller battles. So after they said that they weren't going to enter the promised land and they lost their opportunity, the younger generation is here now and they're like, okay, it's time. You know, our parents are gone. God said that we were the ones that were going to go into the promised land. So they're traveling through the wilderness to get to the promised land, and they come across some things that will deter them, right? How many of you know as soon as you say you're going to step out, something happens? It's like, ha-ha, you think you're going to step out? So in Deuteronomy 2 and 3, God's leading them back through the wilderness on the way back to the promised land, but they run into Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan. And God says, Moses is still alive at this point, but he says, have courage, I'm going to give them into your hands. Go ahead and fight them, you know, because before they were running, they were scared. So in these two small battles with these two kings, they overcome, and this is Joshua 2, 8 through 11. It says, so after they defeat these two kings, Joshua sends two people to Jericho to spy it out, right? Because they're going to attack. Jericho's the first big city. And they're talking to Rahab, and this is what she says. I know the Lord has given you this land, Jericho. A great fear of you guys has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he just did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. And when we heard about that, about the two kings that they overcame, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on this earth below. So the enemies had heard, hey, God is like with these people because they just went through. It said that one of the kings that they overcame had 60 walled cities, and they took all of their cities. So they're already starting to conquer these small battles before they go to the big city of Jericho. So after we step out in courage, God follows through, and our enemy will start to fear us. Isn't that awesome? We were at, Van and I were at this weekend up at Elam at a conference, and we ran around and people were sharing words with one another. And he got this word for someone that when he wakes up in the morning, the enemy says, uh-oh, he's awake. You know, it's kind of like once we start stepping out in courage and we don't let fear hold us back anymore, what God can do through us is awesome. And it does make the enemy scared. And then they are the ones that are losing their courage. So to go back to the story of the Israelites, after they defeated those two kings, they come to the Jordan River is what separated them from the promised land. And remember, Rahab just said, we heard about how God spread the Red Sea for you to get into the wilderness. Guess what? The Jordan River split in two for them to cross over on dry land too, to get to the promised land. After they made their choice, we're going to go into the promised land. They stepped in the water. They walked across on dry land. Awesome. And then it says later in Joshua that people were hearing about that and their hearts were melting in fear. So the enemy is going to be scared. Because as soon as we step out in courage and we choose to obey what he's asking us to do, he enables us. He gives us his favor, right? She said, we can tell God is with you and your God is powerful. So I was thinking about some things that require us to have courage. So remember, all these things I'm going to talk about are things that if I do it, God's going to provide all that I need to be able to succeed. But also, it's my choice. And if I don't do these things he's asking me to do, there will be a consequence. And also, the more that we do all these things, gather up the courage, the easier and easier they will become. So the first thing that I was thinking about is doing something new. How many of you know that can be scary? I remember I got a job teaching preschool, and I had taught fifth grade before that. I was comfortable with fifth grade, you know? And I always said to people when they asked about teaching, I was like, yeah, I just never want to teach like colors and numbers and that kind of stuff. So then I taught preschool. And I was not very, it worked out well, but I was very scared, like, the night before, because I was like, I don't know how to teach, like, 3-year-olds. I know how to teach 10-year-olds. So the night before, I was up just thinking about it, and I was scared because we're afraid that we might fail. A lot of times, that's where our lack of courage comes from when we're doing something new, because we don't know what to expect, and we're afraid that we're going to fail. But if it's something God's asked us to do, he's going to give us what we need so that we can succeed. And sometimes this could be not just doing something new, but changing the way we do something, doing it a new way. Like, I don't know about you, but I am a creature of habit. Once I do something a certain way, it's really hard to change the way I do it. And I'm almost afraid to do it a different way because I'm like, well, it works fine this way. Like, if I change it, I don't know if it's going to work or not. But sometimes God asks us to take risks because he knows, it says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts and our thoughts. So if he gives us divine ideas, we need to have the courage to step out. And he'll give us the new skills that we need to adapt to whatever it is. Another thing that takes a lot of courage, and this comes from a deep place, is forgiveness. There's something about unforgiveness where sometimes we feel safe because we have put up walls. We've put up walls in our heart that we feel are self-protecting walls. And sometimes it can be scary to let those walls down and to look at our pain and admit that we're deeply hurt and allowing God to heal it, because sometimes then we feel so raw. And if maybe we've held on to this offense so long, it's become part of us. We become comfortable with it. We feel like it's part of who we are. But it doesn't have to stay that way. And it takes courage to completely let go of something like that. I had a really precious opportunity to be with a girl, minister to her. She said, I feel like God wants me to forgive someone, and I've been holding on to this for a really long time. So it's like, you know, okay, you know, I don't know what to expect. I've dealt with people who've been through abuse before, and I thought that it was something like that, because you could tell it was something really heavy. So she proceeded to tell me about how she was kidnapped and tortured when she was 12, and that God wanted her to forgive them and did that to her. It was so beautiful, but she said to me, this hurts so much more than I thought it would. I really want to let go of this, and I, you know, she was scared because she said, I had just stopped feeling. That was how she felt safe. And it took so much courage. I was so proud of her to come out from behind that and let God pull that stuff out of her heart. So some of us have some really deep, deep hurts that are there. And if we will allow God to give us that courage to look at those things and to let go of them and just to open our hearts and let him in, he can do such a beautiful work. Her prayer was so beautiful and precious. And I know that God is really going to bless her for stepping out in that courage. He's going to be able to peel off those layers and heal her deeply. So just to encourage you, if that's something that you're walking through, that God can give us the courage to face those things and to be able to give complete forgiveness. Another thing that requires courage, I feel like, is ministering to someone who's hurting. I had a friend call me 2 days ago, and it's one of those instances where you don't even know what to say. And they don't really want you to say anything or need you to say anything, but just to be there for them. Sometimes it's kind of an awkward situation because we always feel like we should say something. You know, we need to fix it somehow or encourage them somehow. But it takes courage just to sit there and hug them and let them cry and just say, you know, what happened is so painful. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. And then just to pray for them. So it takes courage because sometimes people avoid, you know, if somebody has a loved one that passes away, they say, like, all of a sudden their friends are gone because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to minister, but it takes courage to step into a situation where you know someone is hurting so bad, they might not even want to talk to you. but just to be there with them. And it takes courage, and it's so worth it. And sometimes we fear saying the wrong thing, but sometimes if we just, you know, God will give us what to say, or maybe we just won't say anything. Another thing that takes courage is kind of the opposite of what you would think, but it takes courage to be humble, right? To let maybe someone else get the attention or the credit, to give preference to someone else that they can choose something and have their way when maybe you had something else in mind. Not needing the last word. You know, that's hard. You know, you're like in an argument and you feel full of courage because you're just like, okay, but it takes real courage to not pull any more punches and just, okay, Lord, you know, just let them have it. Not let them have it, but you know what I mean. Let them win the argument. And sometimes it takes courage to ask for help when you need it, right? So we like to be so independent. Like, okay, this is me carrying the groceries. I have a bag on each finger. I have them going up my arm, you know. Do you need help, honey? No, I got it. You know, I'm not taking another trip, though. Yeah, got to get all in one trip. Any other people do that? Okay, good. I'm not alone. And my fingers turned, but you know, they're like numb, but I don't care. I don't want to go back out there. But it takes courage and humility to sometimes to ask for help, right? So this is a big one for me. Sometimes it takes courage with repentance. God has really worked at this in my life, to ask forgiveness from someone, right? Because first you have to admit that they hurt you, which is sometimes hard for us to do because we don't want to admit that someone else hurt us. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to the next one. I'm talking about repentance right now. Admitting that we did something wrong and asking someone else for forgiveness. Because our fear is, what if they don't forgive me, right? What if they keep holding this against me? We have to be willing to see our sin and give it to God. Sometimes repentance is just one-on-one in your bedroom, right, with God, and just having the courage to admit, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Please forgive me. I really need your help. And acknowledging our brokenness. The reason repentance takes courage is because of, like I said before, the walls we put up. How many of you know sometimes that wall is between us and God? And it's called shame. And we hide behind that. We're like, well, you know, like Adam and Eve hiding in the garden. You know, God's like, where are you? Obviously, he knew where they were. He could see them. But he's waiting for them to come out and to leave that shame behind, because he just wants to talk to them. He's not angry at them. He wants to be with them. It's like that with us. But it takes courage for us sometimes. You know, we're hiding behind the shame to come out and say, I'm over here, Lord. Do you still love me? You know, because we have that fear that maybe he doesn't love us anymore because of what we've done. But the more and more we do it, and the more he proves to us that he still loves us no matter what choices we've made, the easier repentance becomes. It can almost become a daily thing where, like David said, Lord, search my heart. You know me. You know, tell me if there's any wicked way in me. Sometimes we don't even see it. But he, like I said, as we do it more and more and we obey him with that, it becomes easier. Another thing that takes courage is accountability. Now, I'm going to be vulnerable with you, and this is taking courage for me. But something that I need accountability with is weight loss. I am one of those, like, do really good, then do really bad, like gain it all back. Do really good, do really bad. So I know that I can't do it alone, and I need accountability. Someone to ask me. And there's a lot of sin in our life that we can't overcome on our own. Like, something that you've been doing your whole life that tends to be something you fall back on. I have an accountability right now. Marty and I meet together, and I have 5 areas that I'm really trying to improve and work on. And so she'll ask me, how are you doing in those areas? And she'll pray with me. It's really important that we have someone like that in our life that we can trust, that won't judge us when we mess up, that will encourage us to keep going, and that won't be afraid to ask us how we're doing and keep us accountable. But it takes courage sometimes to admit, you know, like I said, I need help, or for someone with an addiction, facing it head on. That's a big thing for people to even admit that they have an addiction. And it takes courage. It takes courage for them to say, I have an addiction and I need help. and being vulnerable to someone about a struggle you're currently having. How many of you know it's easier to tell someone, hey, I had this problem 10 years ago and God really, you know, improved that. But to say, you know, right now I'm struggling with this area, that takes courage, because then we're admitting I'm a mess. But we all are in a different way. So just to have that courage, because accountability can change your life. You know, people that do go into like AA or something like that, they come out and they're free. And accountability is worth it. And if it's something you feel like God is asking you to do to find someone like that, then you pray and ask him, who is it, Lord, that I can have in my life that can really, because I'm serious, Lord, I'm serious about overcoming this area and you've asked me to do it. I'm going to have the courage to do it. And that he'll ask you and that he'll show you who the person is that you can talk to. So this is the one I kind of was going into before, but it takes courage also to have a loving confrontation. And sometimes the loving part gets left out of it, right? Some of us, there's two, I feel like, different kinds of reactions to when we get hurt. We're either passive about it and we stuff it, which isn't good, or we're aggressive about it and we attack the person that did it to us. So both of those are not healthy, in case you're wondering. The healthy thing to do is admit to someone that something they did was hurtful to you and ask them to help meet your need. So you're making yourself vulnerable. Van and I had a talk recently, which was like eye-opening for me, because I tend to be more of the aggressive one, like, hey, you did this and you need to stop doing that and you need to do this. And I've been reading this book called Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. Have any of you heard of that book? It's really powerful, but it's talking about how powerful people control themselves and they don't try to control other people. So I realize if something he does or anyone does upsets me, that's my issue. You know, I'm in charge of controlling me, not controlling him or anyone else. And so just to talk to him and say, listen, what you did hurt me and I have this need for quality time and what you could do to help. But choosing not to attack, but sometimes it takes courage to confront because we fear rejection. We're like, well, what if I tell him my need and then he doesn't care, you know, or it doesn't get met anyway. But we have to take that courage and step out. Or our relationships, I had a friend, I met with her, I talked to her, please, what's wrong? She said, everything's fine, I just don't have time. But you can tell, you know, when something's not right. So she just didn't want to talk about it. She, for some reason, didn't have the courage to tell me what was really going on until it was too late, a couple years later. And she, out of fear, has a pattern in her life where she just walks away from relationships. It starts to get hard. So just to encourage you that confrontation can be scary, but if you have the courage to do it, it really pays off if you can do it in a loving way. I only have a couple more. So the next one goes along with what I was just sharing from the book, letting go of control. That is scary for control freaks like me. I'm trying to improve on that. But like I said, we can't control other people. How many of you know, as much as you try, you cannot control people's choices? They have their own choices to make, just like we do. And you also can't control situations, right? You can try to, but ultimately what's going to happen is going to happen. God's in control. And here on this earth, there's always the human element where people are going to make the choices. So fear is what leads us to try to control things. Because we think, well, part of us thinks that, well, if I'm in control, it'll turn out okay. You know, but we're afraid to trust God with it, you know, and honestly, he's the only one that we can trust. We can't trust people, we can't trust ourselves, and we can't just trust things to work out. For me, a recent example of giving up control was sending my son to kindergarten. It was tough. It was tough because I have always been in control of what he's exposed to, where he goes. I get to be part of every little joy of his life. I get to be the one responsible for keeping him safe. And now he has a teacher who is wonderful and I'm very happy he has. But now someone else is in charge of his day. and how it goes and how he's treated. And I really had to trust God with it, because actually Van and I had thought that another teacher would be better for him. And when we found that he didn't get that teacher, you know, I'm like, ah, you know, that's the one I wanted. But my husband is very wise. He said, well, God put him in there for a reason. So we're finding that his teacher is really good at handling my son's personality. So in a good way. So it's hard to let go of control. But when we do, that means that we're trusting God. And it takes courage sometimes, but it's necessary, right? All right, creating boundaries. That takes courage, because people don't like it. How many of you know, have you ever put up a boundary like, okay, you've crossed the line and now here's the line. Don't cross that line. How's that person going to take that? Not too kindly, right? So just to remember, though, that when we do have boundaries, we're protecting the most important thing. We're protecting ourselves and our family. And that is the most important thing, because I had a season where I just let people's guilt trips determine what I did and didn't do. You know, like they asked me to do something. Oh, I don't know. You know, I have like 20 other things I have to do that day. You know, oh, but I need it so badly. Okay, I'll do it. You know, but we really need to have set that what our priorities are. And when we do, people might still feel rejected. They might not understand, and you might look selfish, but it doesn't matter, because if God has asked you to draw that line and to protect your family and yourself, then it doesn't matter. It's worth it. All right, two more. Following our convictions. This kind of relates to boundaries, but just thinking about, like, you know, the high school kid who's asked to do a bunch of stuff that's tempting. Following our convictions, we might not be popular for it, and we might get left out. Last week, my daughter started a dance class, and she has this new teacher, and it's just a small class, just me and one friend. And the girl did yoga. And I've had experience with yoga before, and I'm not saying it's terrible, but you do have to be careful, because it does have some strong religious roots that are not good. And it was kind of kid yoga, so it wasn't too weird. But afterwards, I felt kind of odd about it, you know, just like, because at the end of the little video, they said, now send your wishes to for someone to be happy. And, you know, I'm like, I hope she's not listening. So, but they were pretending to be a butterfly and send these wishes. So I was like, okay, well, you know, she's three, maybe, whatever, I'll just pray against whatever. But then we get home and she's holding a caterpillar and petting it and going down the slide. I'm like, oh yeah, having fun with your caterpillar? She's like, yeah, I'm making wishes. And I was like, okay. Like, all right, Lord. So now I'm going to have to call this dance teacher and say, listen, I don't feel comfortable with the yoga part of your class. You know, either my daughter's going to have to leave for it, or, you know, could you do something a little different? But that's going to take courage for me, because you're always afraid, like, well, first of all, I'm going to look like that parent. But also, you're kind of like, you know, fearing that rejection, and it takes courage to stick by our convictions, doesn't it? Especially if someone close to you is, you know, okay with doing whatever it is. Just to say, okay, God, you told me that wasn't okay for me, so I need to obey you. And the last one is something that I never really thought about until actually our trip this weekend. One of the speakers was talking about this. It takes courage sometimes just to stand in a storm. This is the definition of courage from the dictionary. Mental or moral strength to venture, so to try something new like we talked about, to persevere and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So like we said, it's not the absence of fear, it's stepping out despite feeling the fear. The picture that they shared at the conference was, right now we're having tropical storms. And he's like, I've seen these people on TV. You know, they're like holding your microphone, looking at the camera, and they're like getting blown back. You know, it's like all they can do is stand there, and the courage that it would take to just stand in the middle of that storm, you know. And how sometimes in life we get upset because we're like, Lord, I just feel stuck. I feel like I should be moving forward, and I'm just kind of still here. And maybe It could be that he's asking you to do something and you haven't stepped out. Or it could be that right now, this season in your life, you're going through a storm and all he's asked you to do is just stand and to stand firm. That's what it says in the scripture. Having done all to stand, stand firm then. And if you feel like you're in a storm, I'm going to pray for you at the end. But just to remember that God is still pleased with you if all you can do is stand. Because it takes strength just to stand. Because at least if you're standing, you're not going backward. You're not losing ground. So just to keep your feet firmly planted, not to lose the faith. Jesus says in John 16:33, I've told you these things so in me you may have perfect peace. In this world you will have tribulation, distress, and suffering. But be courageous, for I have overcome the world. So just to know that he can give us the courage, you know, and how can we be afraid to do something after the courage it must have taken him to go to the cross and what he did for us? And know if we compare whatever he's asking us to do to that, it doesn't even compare, right? And just to know that he overcame the world when he stepped out in courage, what he did for us, and that whatever small things he's asking us to do, he's gonna bless, he's gonna bring victory for it. And the power that was in him, says, when he was raised from the dead, is in us. So all we have to do is make that choice, step out and do whatever he's asked us to do, and he's going to give us the courage. So this morning, we're just going to play a song. And as it's playing, I want you to ask God, what area in my life are you asking me to step out in courage? And then this song is saying that when we wait on him, he fills us with that courage. So today he's asking each of us to make a choice. Whatever that area is he spoke to you about this morning, you have an opportunity now to make a choice and then to allow him to fill you with that courage as you make that choice. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All right, if you want to play that video, and maybe we can dim the lights a little for a second. Words lead you on. just invite you to stand as you start to feel that courage rising in you. If you want to make that choice this morning of courage, whatever he's asking you to do, just feel free to stand if you'd like. We just receive this morning your empowerment, your enablement. Lord, we choose to step out. We choose to receive the courage that you provide. Lord, you have overcome the world, and so we know that whatever it is you're asking us to do, that you're going to be there and walk through it with us, Lord. We just ask that you'll seal it in us this morning, Lord, that what you planted, this courage that you had rise up within us, will not be stolen when we leave this place, will not be taken away when the storms of life come and the waves are rising up and the wind is going and it looks scary. Lord, we're going to step out on that water anyway because we trust you, Lord, and we know you. We know that you are good. We know that you have our best interest at heart. And we know, Lord, that you will never let us down. We trust you, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.